Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex and Pete.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Ultimate Boothman.
Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime. Yeah. Some show I'm going to remember this. Very exciting. Boothman Prime, how are you doing today? Good?
I'm doing very good, guys. How you doing?
All right. Pretty good. We were talking a little before the show. You're pretty psyched for Preacher, right?
Oh, so psyched.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it.
And they put the first 4 minutes online.
They threw them up, and it's such a crazy 4 minutes.
Yes, it is. For those of you who haven't watched it, the first 4 minutes of the show, I guess this is a spoiler for people who don't have the internet. I don't know how you're listening to this potentially at home. If you don't have the internet, good luck. I guess enjoy it on your wireless or something like that.
Don't look at me.
I don't know. You look like a guy who doesn't have the internet, so I'm turning to you. Basically, this thing comes down from space and blows up a church and kills some people, but it's not, for those of you who read Preacher, it's not Jesse Custer. It's an entirely different Preacher. It's weird. It's strange. It's not what you expect from the comic book.
It's so retro-looking.
Yeah, it's very retro-looking, too, but it's pretty cool. We'll talk a little more about it later because I've seen the first two episodes at this point. Spoiler, they're really good.
Spoiler, they're good?
I don't know. I'm just saying things to talk at this point.
Okay.
But more importantly, you're probably wondering where our co-host Justin is.
Justin's a baby.
No, Justin had a baby.
Well, that's still, he's still
kind of
a baby.
Yeah, we give him a round of applause.
Yeah! Justin's a dad. He's Justin's in charge of a life.
It was crazy because, like any good father, he had the baby, posted the pictures of his wife and baby on the Facebook, posted a promo for his next show, posted another promo for his show.
Yeah, exactly.
Just kept going.
Yeah, he's
life
more,
is normal.
Yeah, it was less about his baby and more about his shows.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, babies are great promotion devices, I think.
They are.
Good. Like,
why you guys are here, why I'm getting my views on my Facebook page?
Right.
Don't forget to check out my show.
Yeah, the reach on these posts about my baby is through the roof. It's wonderful. Let's talk more analytics. People love analytics,
Yeah, sure.
We probably shouldn't necessarily say what Justin's baby name is. That'll be up to him, to whatever he wants to share.
Yeah.
But to give you a little bit of a hint, two of his favorite X-Men, that's, I think, who he named the kid after, Madeline Pryor and Shadowcat.
Just like how you named your kid after a giant thing in the Batcave.
Penny?
Yep.
Yep. I thought you meant dinosaur for a second. My second child. Yeah, there
Your
you go.
Second child, dinosaur.
Actually, let's bring out my second child, who is our guest tonight. One of our favorite people to have on the show. Very funny guy. He's a comedian around town. We love having him here. There's about to be a huge fight on stage, so get you ready for that. Ladies and gentlemen, Langston Belton!
Yeah! Langston, welcome to the show. Have a seat.
Hello.
Have a seat.
Hello. Come, please, sit down.
Yeah.
Let's all be collegial. Let's be friendly before we really get
into it.
What?
I shook his hand.
You did shake his hand. That was
before
very nice.
Fall.
Here, pull your chair forward a little bit. Yeah, there we go. Come closer. Let's all be friends.
What are you?
Second chill.
No. I think we should all be friends for a moment. We got to get close because the yelling's about to start.
Not a bad. Okay.
Yeah, because
I can be very calm and cool and collected and objective.
Well, congratulations.
Hold on, Pete. Hold on. All right, let's just start this off. I want to set this up a little bit.
Sure.
Who's seen Captain America: Civil War?
Yeah.
Outstanding.
We've been talking about it for a couple of weeks here now on the show. Generally speaking, I think everybody big fans of the movie. Big fan.
Fantastic. Outstanding.
Fantastic movie. Absolutely. That's great. We can agree on that. That's very nice. Mm-hmm. The thing that maybe we can't agree on is there's two teams in the movie.
Right.
What team are you?
I'm Team Cap.
And what team are you?
I am Team Iron Man.
Wow. Okay. All right. So
someone hissed like hiss just now.
Yeah.
Sounds like somebody just went.
Well, here's the thing. When we booked you on the show, Langston. Hold on. Wait. Just give me one second. When we booked you on the show, Langston, I was warned. I was told, okay, Langston has been going on Facebook and ripping into people about Team Iron Man.
Just responding with
Fuck you, Justin.
Hold on. We haven't started yet. Hold on. Here's what I'm thinking. All right. Clearly, there's going to be some sort of very friendly, calm debate going on.
Right.
But I thought we should set some ground rules first. Okay.
Absolutely.
So what I'm going to do, since I'm in the middle here, and I can probably see both of your sides pretty evenly, I'm going to allow you guys to set one ground rule each. So Langston, do you want to set a ground rule for this debate?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I think you were setting one backstage. You were starting to suggest one to Pete.
Oh, yeah. One thing I do want to say, I mean, but I think one ground rule, we have to only acknowledge what happens in the movie, like semantics and like hypothetical things that could not possibly, that could go either way if they're not explained in the movie. Just going based on what is in the movie and what we know what that implies in the real world, just that. That's all I ask.
Fuck that ground rule.
Great. This is going great so far. All right. Pete, do you have a...
No, I don't. I want to have an open discussion with somebody. I want to put any fucking labels.
Pete, I'm allowing
you. Do you, man. However you want to do it, let's do it.
He's not a fan of oversight. He's not a fan of oversight.
Exactly. I don't want anyone governing my shit.
All right. So no ground rules from you, Pete.
No ground rules.
Anything
no ground
is fair rules. Game. No, absolutely fair no game. Rules.
All right. So why don't we start this off in the tradition of all debates? Each person can have,
I first want to just set something up. I first want to just say...
Wait, you don't want any ground rules, but you want to set something up first, right?
I just want to share. I was super excited to see this movie. I was also super excited to talk to Langston. He's a friend of mine. I very much enjoy going to movies with him. It's a great time. It's something that we bond over, and I was so excited to talk to him about this movie. And so we were having a discussion. We were like, just finishing each other's sentence. Like, yeah, oh my God. And then this part, and then this part. And then we got to the part where it was like, yeah, totally team. And then,
Iron Man.
He said Iron Man. I said Cap.
Everyone spit take. The record skip dropped the glass.
Yeah, it was
a cat.
It was, and I was like, "You're fucking joking, right?" Like, oh, that was a good one. This is a big. You know me so well. You're so
sane.
Funny.
You're sane, man.
Yeah. Oh my God. And then it just, I could not believe it. And then just started to steamroll and get really ugly.
Great. So let's bring that onto the stage.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in the tradition of debates, let's just start off. I'll give you guys each a minute just to present your case for Team Cap and Team Iron Man.
Sure.
And let's do it fair. I'm thinking of a number. It's either one or two. Which number am I thinking of?
Two.
One.
It was two, actually. All right. So Team Iron Man goes first.
Oh, can I? I was going to say I was going to...
Oh, would you?
I didn't know if you could choose.
Yeah, you could choose. That's.
Dumb. I will let Pete go first.
Oh, very nice. Fuck Except you. That's kind of also throwing him under the bus. Okay,
yeah.
Let's do 1 minute on the clock starting now.
All right, so I just think it's clearly Team Cap is a better choice, just because the fact of if heroes are going to sacrifice themselves and fight for what they think is right, fight for our best interest, fight for. Bad guys not to win, having a committee or group of other people looking over them being like, we don't know if this, you know, like there's not time for that shit. You either trust somebody to be Captain America and trust somebody to be like, hey, go get them. Thanks for all that you do. Or you don't. And even if you tried to tell him, hey, don't, he's still going to do it. So having this bullshit paperwork in front of somebody who's a fucking hero is just a ridiculous statement.
All right, that's a minute. Over to you for Team Iron Man.
Outstanding. So, Pete is absolutely correct. The main goal is to save people. If people want to sacrifice themselves and protect people and make sure that bad guys do not win, they can do that. Usually, they join the armed forces, or they join some type of organization, because if there is no consequence to your actions, and just, again, my biggest problem is there's no emotion. Fundamentally, you cannot take your sense of what is right and impose it on someone else. And that is what happens when you don't have any type of governing body saying, all right, what is the best interest of this situation? Now, does that mean there's always going to be deliberation? No, there are some things that are clearer than others, some situations that are clearly more dangerous than others. The difference is between what is investigated and what is intervened upon.
All right, that's a minute right there. Okay, thank you, guys. That was a very civil war. I'll see myself out. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Da, 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 there we go. All right. Go at it.
All right. So first off, like, we're talking about the comic book world, right? So don't try to keep putting it on the real world. This is the comic books. There is not a real Captain America. This is kind of made up character, right?
Based on a set of based on our world with the
sure,
equalizer.
Yes, yeah, yeah, sure. Okay. Originally, yes. All right. But I don't want to read a comic book that's like, hey, you know what we should do is get a group of governing people to overlook this hero that I really like. And, you know, we'll just have a little checks and balances. That way he doesn't go off and do something crazy. My point is that I...
Sorry, I just want to interject. Was that a Southerner or a cartoon nerd?
I don't know.
Okay. Don't know. All right, continue.
Yeah, I just I just think that Iron Man was made a lot of rash decisions and just needed a fucking hug. And I think that like I can understand emotionally. Like if I saw my parents die, I would want vengeance. But we also saw that like Black Panther did an amazing job of setting emotions aside and thought about some shit and realized, you know, like, why in a world where people can get brainwashed and people can be possessed by demons or whatever the fuck else creative shit that happens in comics, that, like, why would you really be like, oh, maybe Captain America is right and maybe Bucky isn't the bad guy here. So why not, like... Fair try enough. To back him up on this.
I know.
Now, turning the team against
each
other.
Now, are you arguing against the Sokovia Accords or whether you want to read a comic about the Sokovia Accords? Because I feel the Sokovia Accords, it's very, very simple. Just laying out what happened. Scarlet Witch, who is a very, very powerful being. We know this, yes?
Right.
What did she do in Age of Ultron to Tony Stark? In the beginning of Avengers Age of Ultron, what did she do to Tony Stark?
I just remember her lifting up the island. And
In the beginning of Age of Ultron.
Yeah, she didn't lift up
She
the
gives
island.
Him a vision.
Did you see Avengers Age of Ultron?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay. I mean, I saw it with you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What did she do in the beginning to Tony Stark before
fucking
he grabs
tell
the
me. I don't
she
remember.
Was there. I'm asking you because I want you to say that. She shows him a vision of the future. That vision shows that it is his fault that all the Avengers die and that all this stuff happens. Based on what we know about the character of Tony Stark, we know there's no rule that says this, oh, once she shows him this vision, at the end of this movie, the vision doesn't affect him anymore. He still saw this thing. He's only operating in this line of thought because of her. Now, she's on Captain America's side. What happens, and Captain America says that things are run by people with agendas, and agendas change. Who's to say that Captain America's agenda won't change? Because all his agenda is to do is to go other places and change things. He went into an African country to stop a former American-based bad guy who illegally went into that country and was causing some shit. Captain America went over there, and Captain America should not be going into other countries and doing whatever he pleases when there's a woman who took a man with a suicide bomb on and cast him into the sky, thus killing people. Now, I imagine everybody back at that African government was saying, like, I wonder what they are doing here. Did you ask them to be here? No. Who did? Why are they in our country? You can't just go around and leave a body count and then come home and say, man, what a sweet move, Falcon. You can't do that. Because guess what? All those countries are going to be like, well, we didn't really want the Avengers to be there.
So they should just sit back and let people just fucking die and be like, hey, sorry.
The same way that Steve says that they're taking away their right to choose, the people you're protecting have the right to choose who their protectors are. That's why we elect governed officials.
Well, this is, we're getting fucking very, I'm talking about a fucking comic book movie here.
Yeah,
you keep bringing it back to like real life government shit.
But that's what it's based, that's what this story is based on. Registration, there is a, you have to register certain things. You have to register your driver's license. You have to register in order to buy a car. So
in real life, having this shit would be insane. But in the comic book fucking movie, I want fucking Captain America to go wherever he needs to so he can
and guess
kill
what?
The bad guy.
And he totally can. Because it's not just four countries signing this thing. 117 countries say, we just want to be able to know what the Avengers are doing and whether they can act in the situation. That might require an investigation. That might not. But guess what? 117 countries... they won't even have time to sleep because all those countries are going to be like, oh, wait, we can use the Avengers? Get your goofy asses over here and take care of this warlord in our jungle. The Avengers are not going to have time to deliberate because every country is going to want immediate UN aid.
You don't which know they'll be this. You don't, you're...
I don't
speculating.
No,
you're the one who said like let's keep it to the fucking movie. You're way off.
But if they say in the movie if you sign the accords, the UN can govern who goes where, and those countries will govern who goes where.
When is there going to be time for that? A fucking evil villain has a plot. He starts murdering people. Like hold up.
No, they go. They go.
The UN
but,
and I got to wait for 117 countries.
If they have to track Ulysses Claw and he goes into another country, they don't go. Everybody in the jet. We're going to Africa. They say we have reason to believe Ulysses Claw is in your country, and I'm pretty sure they'll go. Oh, that dude that helped that giant robot kill a lot of people. Yeah, if you can help, please take our African Batman and go fight this robot person, please.
Point of order, Batman. I'd like to point out that Batman is a DC Comics character. Yeah. I just want to mention that.
Wait, what?
Oh,
I
never
have to
mind. All right. See you later. No. Good. Pete, have you been swayed yet?
No.
He will never be swayed.
No.
Because the biggest problem, and I think the biggest thing is, the main thing I love about the movie is that it's steeped in emotion versus logic. Captain America feels that he is right, and he feels it so strongly.
He's standing next to a river of truth.
He is. He's doing that so much that he is now ignoring the fact that he helped his friend escape from prison. And
gotta do what you gotta do for your boy.
That's not going to click. You want your friend Bucky to be able to hang out in the outside world and not be hunted for the rest of his life? Don't break him out of fucking prison. And also, now you're in a criminal. They're all, and then he, at the end of the movie, he breaks out his secret friends, and they go.
You're
he goes
damn
like,
right, he does.
And he goes,
you don't leave your boys.
And he hands Tony a fucking Motorola burner phone. And is like, hey, buddy, I know we had some problems, but call me if you need me. And he
that's
goes, listen,
right.
man,
that's
I'd love to
do.
Call you. The moment they know where you are, it's like, oh, hey, aren't those fucking fugitives that escaped from that prison that one time? They need to answer to that. You know, maybe serve a little jail time because they broke the law. Because the accords in the movie, which I did not realize, they are signed. Like, it's not like they're deciding whether it will go into effect. The moment it goes into effect, they say either retire or sign. And Tony says to Cap, we can change it. We can, logically, it's like, oh yeah, of course, everything in this giant thing, I don't personally agree with. I don't even want to fucking answer to ghost-haired William
Hurt.
Yeah,
Tony breaks his own fucking rules by the end of it.
Because...
which is a big reveal that, hey, I'm wrong. Don't be Team Iron Man, because I can't even follow this shit.
No.
Be Team Cap, because he came over to our side.
No, he didn't come over. He owed it to his friend. He was like,
yeah.
All right, he is my friend. But you know what he did? He took some legal loopholes.
Well, yeah,
of course
you,
he, did.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, of course, because he took some legal loopholes. But when he goes there, he says it's a truce. And then he it's the fact that, and then that secret at the end, that put me over the top. And I just feel it's all based in motion. The one time that Tony gets emotional, shit goes awry. Because now he's trying to kill someone's best friend who, again, objectively is probably wanted for a lot of political assassinations. And that's going to, like, come back to bite him in the ass.
Well, yeah, when you're brainwashed and then used as a assassin.
But even Bucky says, I still did it. And then Cap looks at the window sadly because he's like, ah, fuck. I hope you don't say that in a courtroom ever.
That's not what he was thinking.
I mean, no, he was thinking.
You don't know what he was thinking.
So let me throw something out at you. I know this is not actual debate rules, but this is something that came up in a previous show somebody mentioned that I thought was a very apt point is, just to check your ground rules, are we just talking about Captain America Civil War or the movie verse? Things that have happened in the movie.
I think you have to talk about the movie verse.
Okay. Because in the movie verse, from Captain America's perspective, at the very least, every time the government has tried to intervene, it's gone horribly wrong. Mm-hmm. If you look at Avengers, they're the one that's decided, you know what, let's nuke New York.
Yeah,
and the Avengers said,
cool.
No, we're not going to do that.
Right.
We're going to stop that. And they stop the nuke and take care of the aliens. And then if you look at Captain America Winter Soldier, all that shit goes down not because of the Avengers, but because the government has been infiltrated by Hydra and taken over, and S.H.I.E.L.D. has been taken over.
So
if anything, in both of those movies, it's the Avengers trying to minimize the damage that's going on.
True.
And doing that by going rogue and not listening to what the government is telling them versus vice versa.
True, and I think the problem is that no Avengers are involved in that decision-making process. If there's an Avenger in the room, if the Vision's in the room, they say, we're going to nuke New York City, Vision's going to go, don't do that, because I'm sure they can handle it.
Well, so this is where none of us having read that entire document of the Sokovia Accord comes in, because the way that it's described in the movie, the UN has oversight of the Avengers, but what you're suggesting is that the Avengers would have oversight on the UN.
Oh, no, they would have a, there would be a voice. It wouldn't just be, I don't think, and again, like you said, we haven't read it, but I can't imagine.
Why won't the government release the Sokovia Accords?
Right? You know what's funny? Someone right now saw that movie, got up and said, I know what I have to do with my life. And went, he like looked through every single frame. He has, yeah. And he's just, he or she, I don't know, it could be a team of people. It could be all of you right now, all just sitting at home and writing it, and then they all kill each other.
You know what he probably did? He's waiting for the Blu-ray release. He's going to zoom in on every frame, mm-hmm. enhance it, spend days working on it until he cleans it up, and he's going to see all of the small text is, you're a nerd, over yeah. and over, hundreds of times.
Go outside. I think...
Go outside.
My biggest thing is, I think my biggest crux is everything is that Captain America and Tony, the difference is Tony's willing to change, and I feel that Tony has existed in that current world longer than Captain America has. So mm-hmm. Captain America has this very idealistic yeah. and very black and white way of seeing
he's old
things.
School, yeah.
Yeah. But Tony understands, like, well, hey, dude, I mean, I understand that, but the last time you were alive, America just invaded another countries were invading each other and trying to give. It's like it doesn't happen like that anymore because everyone started saying, hey, if we're all left to our own devices, we might get some person that wants to walk across the face of the earth and kill everybody. So I feel like Tony just understands the modern world better than Steve does and is willing to bend, but Tony gets hung up when he doesn't understand that they keep
Wanda
in her
room. Well, it's interesting that you bring this up, and this is not particularly for either side, but one of the things that I think is so great about Captain America Winter Soldier is that it's about Cap waking up in the modern world, realizing, oh God, this modern world isn't black and white, it's shades of gray, and then by the end of the movie saying, fuck that, no, let's make it black and white, and I'm just going to push through, and I'm going to believe what I believe and be my earnest Captain America self and win the day by doing that, and that's exactly what he does,
yeah.
is he pushes it to this level of it being good versus evil and finding out how to deal with that. And then this movie is the flip side where he pushes and pushes and pushes. And eventually, I mean, would you say he loses or he wins in the end? Because he kind of loses, right?
Yeah, lose. I mean, we all, I mean,
well, he beats Iron Man in the fight, I mean, but he loses.
Oh, that's...
And yeah. so he finds that...
Nobody wins on that.
In a certain way, they re-embrace these shades of gray and he can't fight against it this time.
True.
Because he can't bend. He's even the entire time. Mm-hmm.
Which is why I think it's interesting that they did end with him being like, hey, dude, you know that, I mean, again, it's just one of those things, like, I'm watching this movie, and if you, it's like, hey, man, I knew that how your parents died the entire time I've known you.
That was fucked up.
And then he goes like, but hey, if you need me, I'll be there. The first thing I'm doing is like, yeah, you know what, dude? It's like, yeah, hey, man, I need you here. So Absorbing Man is fucking shit up. Let's all go down there and beat the fuck out of that. We'll be there waiting. Let's break everybody out of prison. And because, you know, I mean, that line for me, you know, growing up and only having my mother and grandmother, that's why that line when he goes and he's like, hey, he didn't mean to. He was brainwashed. He goes, I don't care, dude. He killed my mom. Like, I don't give a shit about anything else he's done. That is the one crime I know he did, and I can make him answer for. Which he technically, once Tony is like on the Accords, he is now illegally allowed to kill people. Unlike in previous movies where he says he gets to kill people, I go like, no, you shouldn't, because that you. He should also be arrested.
Yeah. All right. Let's. Because we got some other stuff want to talk about on the show, let's do some closing statements on this. Pete, since you went first on opening, do you want to do a closing on...
Oh, well, if he wants to, you know, wrap up or whatever. You know,
all right.
You
were nice enough to let me go very quick. First. I'll give you 30 seconds. Go.
Yeah, I just feel I'm Team Iron Man because I feel that even though oversight sometimes can mean like there's some overarching governing body that does not have anyone's best interest in mind, if you don't at least try to make that work and it fails and you have no genuine alternative, then I don't feel it's worth causing more damage by not at least sitting at the table and having the conversation as to what it should be.
All right. Very good. 30 seconds for you.
I think this was total bullshit because we would fight all the time on Facebook and now we're having a fucking discussion about it and it hasn't been fun at all. So I'm just fucking pissed. I was really hoping we could yell like we were doing before, and we didn't yell. We just, like, talked.
You still have, like, 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's hear from you guys. We'll say Team Iron Man and Team Cap, but I want to hear by applause, who do you think won the debate? All right. Not who do you agree with, what side are you on, but who do you think won the debate here? All right. So Team Cap. That's some loud people. What about Team Iron Man? Hey, I think it's pretty clear you're both wrong. It's Team Black Panther.
Hey. All right, I like that.
All right, guys, we're going to move
Black
on.
Black Panther was amazing.
He was amazing. Yeah. Real quick, two things to plug that you're doing. So you have a show called Puffs.
Puffs, yes. Puffs, or Seven Increasingly Eventful Years at a Certain School of Magic and Magic, is playing at the People's Improv Theater, the East Side Theater on Winterthy, East 24th Street. And it is a parody show of a certain scar-foreheaded young wizard. It is all 7 years of his story told from the perspective of a certain Badger-sponsored house.
Star Wars, right?
Yes.
Great.
We're doing the actual script for episode 8.
That's
just
crazy.
Doing it on stage.
That's nuts. I'm very excited for that. And you're in an improv group called Hero Complex?
Yes, Hero Complex. You perform every Wednesday at the same stage, People's Improv Theater, in the 9 o'clock hour. With Lorraine Sink, who works...
does a bunch of stuff for Marvel.
Marvel, yeah.
There you go. All right, very cool. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to get through this, I think, pretty quick. First one to talk about, Pete, this was your pick, Southern Bastards, number 14 from Image Comics. Here you go. Pete, you want to talk about this a little bit? What do you like? I should frame this up. You've been pretty upset about this comic for a very long time.
Yeah, and now it's finally my day because I've been waiting like 13 issues. So they set up this storyline in the beginning, like the first couple of issues, and completely went away from it.
Yeah.
And we've just now gotten back to it.
Just to give a little bit of the framing. So the beginning of this series was kind of a Walking Tall sort of thing. Old guy returns to his town, finds it's been taken over by an evil guy named Coach Boss.
Yeah.
He was not just the boss of the mob in the town, but also the coach of the football team.
And super racist.
And yes, I think that goes without saying. And he ends up, spoiler at the end of the first arc, killing the guy who comes back into town. So it's a huge twist, really shocking, but it ends with his daughter, who's been in Afghanistan, trying to get in touch with him and finding out he's dead.
Yeah, so that's where it ended, and it completely gets into a fucking story about this racist old piece of shit.
Oh, my God.
That nobody cares about.
No! Pete, this series has been amazing so far, and it's followed what happened with Coach Boss. It went back, showed his
origin. Who cares about this racist bastard?
Because it humanized the villain, and it made it a deeper, richer story. When eventually he gets his justice...
Will he?
Yes!
We don't know!
You're going to keep reading the book, Pete.
Do you think this issue should have came immediately after she finds out?
No! Yep.
And then just like you, so you say that they should end the storyline and then do something else.
No, like fine, I'll give you one or two, but like 12 fucking issues of a racist Southern guy? Like that's a lot to take, man.
It's
a lot to take.
I can identify.
It was, to be fair, it was several racist Southern guys.
Yeah.
It wasn't just one. I think it's great because it's been incredible storytelling so far. We are finally getting back to the main crux of the story where, oh my God, what's his name?
Boss?
Tubbs. Earl Tubbs, yes. Yeah. Earl Tubbs' daughter is finally heading into the town. So I feel this buildup has only made it more exciting and more terrifying because we know what Coach Boss is capable of now. We know who he is. We know we've learned about all these different people in the town. So we know all of these people she's going to have to go up against and how tough it's going to be for her. And this issue is incredible because we see how badass she is and what's going on with her. And we get to know her character. So that conflict that's coming is fraught with so many different things.
Couldn't disagree more. Like, when you see a racist dude, like, how much more do we need to know about his racism and an origin story? Like, we get it, dude, you're fucking an asshole. I don't need a bunch of other stories to be like, no, let me really spell it out for you. He's not just an asshole. He's probably the worst.
It hasn't been that, though. We've learned
about how fucked up not only he is, but all the fucking people around him.
Yeah, while humanizing, while making their lives sadder at the same time.
Why do we want that?
Who are the two teams in this argument? Who's on which side of which?
I guess I'm team racism.
Yeah, I guess you are.
Am I? Oh God, that's horrible.
No.
Have you been reading this book?
I have. Under Pete's request. And it's really interesting because there aren't a lot of books that I usually read that are not about people in ridiculous costumes. So it's kind of interesting, aside from like The Walking Dead, which even then is like about zombies, but it's still really not dealing with any like super heroism. So it's actually very interesting to read a comic that's really, this could be a TV show. Oh, yeah. I'm surprised it's not a TV show.
Yeah.
It reminds me very much of like that kind of like AMC filmed in Atlanta, like, that kind of show that people love to devour and pick their characters they love or the storylines they hate. So it's kind of interesting to see that kind of storytelling in this
one. I don't think many people could tune in to see this much racism on TV. I mean, it's just a lot to take.
Have you seen what? Do you watch? I was going to, never mind.
No, what?
I was going to say, do you watch Fox News?
yeah, this book is great, though. Definitely pick it up. Let's move on.
Pick up issue 1 and issue 14.
No, pick up all the issues. They're great. All right. Let's talk about our next pick, Vision number 7 from Marvel Comics.
Oh, yeah.
This series is fantastic. If you like seeing Vision in a sweater in Civil War, this is that adapted into
also
a series.
Also, like a V-neck, like a white tee, like tucked into the dad jeans.
Uh-huh.
It's so sexy.
So Vision, for those of you who haven't been reading it, Vision has created a family for himself, lives just out of Washington, D.C., working with them on government oversight. You must love that part of the book. Pretty good. But some horrible shit has gone down where things are going slightly wrong with his android family. They've done just a couple of murders, just a couple of them, and he's trying to hold everything together. This issue in particular is fantastic because we get to see everything that's happened in the series reframed with the relationship between Vision and Scarlet Witch, something that's been pushed to the side before this, and it totally changes everything we've read about the series so far. I don't want to get into the twist at the end, but it's a really beautiful issue that goes through major points in Avengers history. It's awesome. What'd you think about it, Pete?
No, this is like so fucking creepy, man.
Every issue of this is creepy, though.
Yeah, but it's like just like, hey, you think Vision's cool? Guess what? Nope. He's a fucked up, creepy ass, maybe bad guy.
He's almost like, I mean, he's very much like Dr. Manhattan. Dr. Manhattan had, this was his life, and you know what, like Watchmen didn't happen.
And then it doesn't get better for him. This doesn't put him in a better life. It just shows him as worse as the tone kind of portrays him as this kind of really creepy, sinister. And the more issues I read, I keep going, this is just so fucked up.
I was just going to say, the thing that this issue reminds me of is he's always been creepy and fucked up.
Yeah.
Like almost everything about Vision has been as creepy as possible. And in fact, they touch on my favorite creepiest plot point, I think, in the history of Marvel Comics. During West Coast Avengers, Wanda and Vision had twins together, except it turned out they weren't actually twins. Wanda just wanted twins so bad that she imagined them to life. And they were actually two parts of the soul of a bad guy called Master Pandemonium.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, when he came back, when he was like, oh, cool, I'm here for the two parts of my soul, sucked Wanda and Vision's children into his arms. I swear to God, look up Master Pandemonium on Google Image Search if you've never seen it, and you will see the creepiest fucking comic book cover in the history of the world. Ugh. It's terrifying. And that this touches on it and justifies it and makes it emotional, this issue is amazing.
I like to point out my personal favorite thing in this issue. There's a great panel that shows, and again, the framing work is amazing, but there's a issue where it's just awesome, like you see in the background there's a badass like Avengers fight, you see Beast, you see Thor, you see a guy that looks like he's in like an American Gladiator, and like, oh, and Iron Man's in like the Silver Centurion armor, I think, or something. Like, it's awesome.
Wait, take one.
And oh no, maybe with the silver, just be the coloring, but behind a tree, Vision and Scarlet Witch are making out. And I'm just wondering like how no one's looking around like, oh man, where's that real powerful robot? Get your tongue out of her mouth. Get over here. It's just so weird.
We're in a giant battle here. We could use you.
But they show so you creepy. In the back of the issue that was actual panels that they recreated.
Really?
That was an actual storyline, and they were making out during the middle of a battle where they were trying to take back the Serpent.
So he's always been a dick.
He's always been a dick.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what happens when you're the son of Ultron. Cool. Let's move on. There's another one of our picks. Batman number 52 from DC Comics. Now, we talked about the last issue of this because it was the last issue of Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo on the title. Right. They've been running for a really long time. It's been an amazing run. This is James Tynion IV is writing it. Riley Rosmo is on art. Pete, you're a huge fan of Riley Rosmo, right?
Yes. He does amazing stuff. Proof, a comic that he did that I really loved. About Bigfoot running kind of like a crime-fighting agency or kind of like an agency that, like,
this is, just to be clear, not something you made up, right?
Yep, not okay. Something
because I was about
that's
to
a real dreamt. Comic. They kind of look into mysteries and stuff, and it's fantastic. But this is very interesting turn because this art is so different from what it was in the last issue. And I think they were smart where they made it kind of flashbacks so you don't mind the jump in art so much. But it's interesting to see Batman drawn this way. Kind of softens him up a little bit, especially around the face, which is very interesting. But this issue is just kind of like a fun flashback issue where you get to see Batman kind of being a badass.
Yeah, and it's nice to see that after so many epic, overarching storylines of Batman, which have been excellent in their own right, to just get a really good, solid Batman story with gorgeous art and a new villain is awesome.
I like any story that really... Like, I like any story that shows, like, Batman, like, on a mission, like, chasing a criminal, like, across rooftops, and, like, what he has to do to catch them, because he is, at the end of the day, still a normal human being, and I like the artwork in this, because it doesn't make him look, you know, sometimes he looks bulky, or, like, looks like, if you had that much muscle mass, you could not move the way you do. Yeah. He looks a lot like, more like a mixed martial artist, more lean.
Yeah.
He looks like a real human being, and you can see, like, oh, it's real tough to do that, because I can't. And, you know, and it's awesome to see really the actual beat by beat what it takes for him to go, all right, there's this person that I'm after. What do I got to do? Oh, they're up there. I have to use my hook. Oh, I'll say car and jump on top of it, which, you know, who doesn't love just saying, can we all just wish you could say car? But then if you say car, I wonder if he ever says car, does the Batmobile just come rocketing through the floor? I guess I got another dead body.
He said, like, at a dinner party and accidentally says, like,
car.
Oh, I have a new car. What? Not again.
Overeager Batmobile. It happens. Cool. And that's it for the stack. All right, guys, it's time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah,
so I'm going to come out to you guys. So for your audience questions, they could be about absolutely anything. They could be for our lovely guest over here. They could be for the panel, about geeky stuff, whatever. Just ask a question, raise your hand. You're going to get some free comics and a free poster from modhero.com. So that's a pretty sweet deal, pretty easy. You, sir, right there, I saw your hand up first. Why don't you come up here? Because my mic only stretches so far. What's your name? What's your question?
Name's Hugo.
Hey, Hugo.
What's up, Hugo?
So I was recently grocery shopping, and I saw that there's Batman v Superman cereals. I don't know if you guys had these, but the Batman one was terrible. It's like chocolate strawberry, which separately fine, but together garbage. Mm-hmm. Superman one was all right. So my question is, what licensed foods have you had that haven't been great? And who would have a better cereal, Iron Man or Captain America?
Oh boy.
This will start yelling.
Yeah. So first off, let me just say, I know what you... I saw, like, I was in the grocery store and I saw, like, a Star Wars cereal that looked fucking delicious. And then when I bought it, I was like, oh, fuck, I'm so dumb to fall for this because it was so awful. The cereal that I liked, because I do fall for this a lot, sadly... I see the box, I'm like, yeah, and then I buy it, and it's no good.
You turn into a cartoon bear?
I do, and I get proud, like I'm walking around like, yeah, I'm into this.
The other thing you should probably know, just for framing of this, is kids are always trying to keep Pete away from their cereal. And it's like, oh, give me our cereal.
Oh my God, I totally blew. It was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure cereal.
What?
Was the best cereal ever. It was amazing. And it came with a little plastic phone booth on the top of the box.
Get out of here.
And the cereal.
What was the cereal? What did it taste like?
It was great because it was like a Lucky Charms, but the kind of bland in between marshmallows actually tasted good.
Oh.
And so it made every spoonful amazing. And I was so sad when I was little and my mom told me it was discontinued. I then was in college and I found a dollar store that had it and I bought every fucking box. And ate it all that they had. I had it for every breakfast and lunch and maybe sometimes dinner. It was so great.
Mine's not as good as that. Lego, when I was younger, Lego used to release. I loved Legos growing up. Like, I was obsessed. I would buy all the sets. Me and my mom like bought like an AT-AT set to put together. Like when like, not when Return of the Jedi came out, like much, much later because I wasn't, you know, allowed to touch that. I would eat them and choke them. Stupid. Lego eventually started releasing these chalk candies. They were like sweet tarts.
That sounds better than chalk.
Right. But then, you know, they got dusty and whatnot. And it's one of those things, like, it took you back. I don't know why this is. It took you back to, like, being a child and, like, just putting things in your mouth. You're like, this, I should not be chewing on this. This is something. Like, you would just chew on things. Mm-hmm. But they were like, Summer was like, man, people love putting Legos in their mouths.
Yeah.
What if we stop everything? What if we made actual good candies that felt like Legos in your mouth?
In your mouth.
It's like you go primal.
I love
it's
the
like
slogan. Legos in your mouth.
Yeah,
exactly.
Also, I think, I don't know who would have a better cereal. I think Iron Man wouldn't have cereal. Just be a line of like vodka. Iron Man vodka with it just has bits of Iron Man suit. Yeah. It just shards of iron.
I feel like Captain America cereal would have more iron in it.
Oh,
so there you go.
They're inseparable. Those two,
yeah, they are. I don't know. I'm having a hard time thinking about cereal. I feel like when the Green Lantern movie came out, they had snowballs filled with green cream, was kind of gross. Maybe I'm imagining that. The first thing that came to mind, though, was just inexplicable, is I once got sent this large pack of Marvel-themed fruit snacks, but they weren't like gummy fruit snacks. They were just dried fruit. So it was like Spider-Man bananas and things like that just had totally incongruous and made no sense. They're all right, though. They're fine.
But I do like saying Spider-Man bananas.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Mary Jane. Okay. cool. You, sir, right there, saw your hand up. What's your name? What's your question?
My name's Destiny. My question is, do you think that superheroes could save more people working in tandem with police, fire, paramedics, and the military, or while being hunted as international fugitives?
Oh, boy.
I feel like maybe Langston hired that person.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That was not, that is not by design whatsoever.
That was a plant.
Pete, I think that's a question for you.
Yes. First off, fuck you. Secondly, before I realized it was a dig at me, I got very excited thinking about like superheroes teaming up, you know, fighting fires and stuff like that. But
do you read Savage Dragon, right?
Savage Dragon. Yeah. Kind of, and then people were like, "You shouldn't."
Oh,
and I was like,
"Oh, okay." Well, I was just gonna say Savage Dragon works with the police. He's on the police force. And he has superpowers. How do you feel about that?
Good for him. So I've lately when I've been reading it, it's kind of not. I mean, remember that one that we read that was just like a fucked up porno, and I was like, "What the fuck?"
Sure, that's not actually what I'm. Yes, I mean, yes.
You remember that one?
Yeah, no, I remember that one very vividly.
Yeah, it was really, and I at that moment was like, "I'm not reading Savage Dragon anymore."
Sure.
So I'm done with it for a while.
Oh, okay, but that wasn't my point.
Right. It's just when you say Savage Dragon, I'm like, oh.
Sure, okay. To get to your point, actually, and I think
right?
I would venture, this is part of the reason that Pete is very much Team Cap, is comics have taught us that the Avengers should not work with the government. Because true. Through hundreds and hundreds of issues of the Avengers, whenever they do get government oversight, it's always somebody like Henry Gurich or somebody else like that who has an agenda and is bad. And
It's always a visibly shady human being.
Yeah, it's always a visibly shady human being. Or in the case of Alpha Flight, it's like Department H is overseeing it, but also they're creating horrible mutants to take over Canada in the basement somewhere.
Right.
Things like that. So comics have always taught us that superheroes should go it alone.
But I do feel working with like police and paramedics, sure. I feel like they always do. You always see like, you know, the police. I always love seeing firemen look at a burning building while Superman's putting it out and they're like, sweet. And then like he comes down, he brings the child to them, and then like the firefighter's like, thank you. And he's like, I found your baby. It's like, I think that makes more sense because they're all on the ground together.
Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of the time, I mean, when they're not chasing him in the comics, but that happens with Spider-Man teaming up with the cops all the time, where he'll always take a criminal, pass him off to the cops, or be like, hey, you guys go get that guy while I'll chase the guy with the bombs that he can throw out of his fingers.
Though I will say, at the end of Civil War, the comic book, Captain America is tackled by a firefighter, cop, and paramedic.
Is it one person or three people?
It's all three of them.
Oh, okay.
And it looks hysterical. So it looks like he should be like, get off of me. But they're like, it's awesome. But yeah, I'm just putting that out there.
All right. Cool. Good question. You, sir, right here. That was a quick hand up. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Nick, and I have a follow-up to that. So there are a lot of street-level heroes that often have to act outside of the police and the laws and are vigilantes, whether or not the police are okay with that. Like Batman, they're okay with that. J. Jonah Jameson hates Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. But do you think those kinds of heroes should have to be beholden to a set of laws or accords like the greater Avengers-level heroes? Or should they be allowed to do what they want and act as vigilantes to help people when the police can't?
Well, I mean, that's the whole point of being a vigilante is the system's broken, the system's fucked up. I'm going to put on this mask because I need to do what's right because for some reason it's failing. Whether it's, you know.
Sorry, are you talking about comic books or you're saying that's something you do?
Shut up. yes, I'm talking about comics. I'm always talking about comics. It's just going to be one of these days. Anyways, yeah, I think I do think they shouldn't answer. They should just do what is right.
Well, I feel like the simple fact of calling them vigilantes means that we acknowledge that they have a set of rules they have to answer to, like, you know, reckless endangerment, all that stuff. But if they believe the system is broken, then why do they beat up criminals and then turn them over to the police? Because that is what I love about the Punisher. That's actually what I love about the Punisher is the fact the Punisher goes like, the system is broken. If I put them in jail, they'll get back out. I'm just going to start shooting them in the face. Even though I feel like he should be, you know, he's a bad guy.
No, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy. The best. He's a good guy that does some bad stuff. But it's one of those things like, I feel like, yeah, I agree with that point of view. He's like, yeah, I'm outside the law. I am breaking the law. And I am choosing to break the law. I know what I am. I'm a vigilante. And I feel that's why I love that episode of Daredevil when they're talking on the roof and talking about, like, what I do.
One bad day away
from... Yeah, it's like
if
in a different universe, the roles be reversed and Cap would be like, hey, we should follow the government. Tony's like, fuck you, I want to wear my sports car. So
yeah.
Did you say wear my sports
car?
That's
what he does.
Yeah,
all right. Okay, fair point.
Kind of does.
I think we could take one more question. Is that right?
Yes, we do. We can.
All right, one more question. You, sir, right there. What is your name? What is your question? Oh, hi. Oh, hi. How's it going? Hey, Rolando, right?
You got it. That's right.
Great. Well, what's your question, Rolando?
Hey, Rolando.
Hi, Pete. Hey. So the mark of a good debater is that they could argue the other person's side just as well, if not better. So could you guys argue the other's side?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Oh, man.
I would like to go on record that I'm not a good debater. I don't like civilized discussion. I'd rather just yell. This is my safe place where I can vent my frustration. Can I argue Iron Man's side? I'm trying to do what is right, and I think that making sure everybody is on the same page and
sorry,
playing by
just real quick, if you are listening to this at home as a podcast, Pete is slowly bursting into fire.
Yeah,
it's just so you know.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand a little bit of why he's doing what he's doing. I just wish they wouldn't. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
Lex, dude, your response.
I can absolutely argue Cab's side. So in life, no, in just life, there are extenuating circumstances that the government can never understand because they are so far removed from the daily life. So right. No, some senator in Washington doesn't know that Spider-Man, his uncle was killed, and his uncle instilled this thing in him. And he says, I cannot help but do this thing. And even when he realizes that Tony's wrong, he switches sides because he always has that ideal. I feel like the government will not always know why someone is doing something and why they're so compelled. And if you force them to adhere to something, then it's kind of bastardizing or like prostituting that thing you feel. It's like, yeah, I feel it, but now I'm kind of doing it for the man, and it's not right. My own quest anymore. Right. Like, that's the reason why I feel so bad in that freaking movie.
Now, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I feel like if instead of like this governing body or the UN or whatever, if someone was like, hey, you just got a check with the Black Panther, I'd be like, okay, that's different.
That.
Yeah, because
okay with that
this
because
guy's super smart. He can then take emotion out of it and just look at things logically.
I would pay money to see Captain America say, so I want to go to this country and da da da. And Black Panther go, no.
It'd be great because then Black Panther would be like,
are you fucking silly? No,
I'll
do that. I mean, I can go. I have diplomatic immunity. I can go wherever the hell I want.
Okay.
And that's why in the movie he's like, I'll kill myself. And they all go, oh, well, we can't really do
that. Yeah, he's like, yeah, diplomatic, I mean, Black Panther's not really
diplomatic immunity.
He's not really on his side, though. Like, huh? They say Black Panther's Team Iron Man, but he's not.
Oh, yeah. Do you think they could get around the whole Sokovia Accords by all becoming diplomats?
Yep.
There you go. Diplomatic.
That's why it's so easy. Just sign it and
and then become diplomats. All right, great question. That's it for your audience questions.
Very good.
You guys did it. Very cool. All right, guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Hooray. Yes, we did it. In the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some geek culture topics, things happening elsewhere in the world of geek. I don't know if you guys got to see this, but DC Comics released a new logo today. Always good to talk about
it. I thought you were going to put it up there for a second. You're like, nope. I don't know if you saw this, but we have it.
If you haven't, you're still going to continue not to see it. So there you go. But DC Comics did release the new logo. Langston, did you take a look?
Yeah, I saw it. It's kind of very reminiscent of their old logo when they had like the DC like kind of off kilter like the stars on it, which I kind of like. I like.
Oh, you like it?
I do like it. I think it's actually very
retro.
Cool. I mean, like Marvel is so starky, like Marvel, that's what it is. I like just that iconic look. I think you put anything in a circle and you're halfway there already.
Wow. Anything, huh?
Like racism or?
Then you have to put a line through it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Okay.
You start with a circle, you put something inside, and you go, do I need a.
Nope.
I do not want ghosts.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Pete. Counterpoint?
Yeah, counterpoint. I feel like DC was like, hey, remember when we didn't have technology or good taste in things? Let's just put let's have a kid draw DC with a blue crayon and put a circle around it, and we'll just adjust that a little bit. I can understand, like, the throwback and the rebirth. But I was just like, God damn it, DC. Why does everything you do piss me off right now? I don't understand why. Because I wanted to like it. I was like, oh, because I hated the fold over. Because it was just, it was like, you peel back the D and you get a C.
That's horrifying.
That was definitely a nerd, right? Not a Southern gentleman.
I don't know why you try to label my stupid voices. But I wanted to be like, oh, it's simpler. I can just like it because it's a simpler, just kind of fun, just two-tone kind of thing. But I was just like, God damn it. It looks
like
want
a more
shitty
textures?
Like a 8-bit piece of shit.
Do you want more textures?
I don't know. I just looked at it and was like, nope. I don't know.
All right. Well, if you are listening at home or if you are here in the audience, if you want to try your hand at creating a new DC logo that you think would be better, send it to us at comicbookclublive@gmail.com. That'd be cool. And I don't know. I don't know what we'll do with it. We'll tweet it out. Send it to DC.
He's
going to
storm the gates. I got so many better options.
We're going to walk to Burbank.
He'd do it.
Yeah, you do it?
I would.
All right, cool. All right, let's move on to other DC news. This was announced earlier this week. They're working on a Harley Quinn solo spinoff movie starring Margot Robbie. That's pretty cool. I would say the cooler news to me, though, was Harley Quinn movie. You know, we haven't seen what Margot Robbie is like necessarily in Suicide Squad. Hopefully it's good. It seems fun from the trailers.
Yeah,
but
it seems great.
They said there's going to be tons more DC female heroes and villains in the movie, including Batgirl and the Birds of Prey.
Hells yeah.
Which I think really cool.
That's
how do you
very
feel
cool.
About
that's
Lex?
Awesome. No, because that's, I mean, it's one of those things, like, if you take a character like Harley, who started as this, not a side character by any stretch of the imagination, but definitely the supporting character, and has taken on this life and this following and stuff like that, to just have that movie, I might be like, well, that's tough to sustain, because Harley is really one of those characters that is so rooted in the universe she exists in, and it's like, oh, is Batman going to be in this movie as well? Because she would interact with other people in that Batman universe, but having all those female villains, and I imagine like Poison Ivy would probably be in it.
Let's hope so.
And the Birds of Prey, like the Birds, that's awesome that we get to see.
It sounds to me just based on that it's going to channel the Jimmy Palmiotti, Amanda Connor version of, I was about to say Deadpool, but that's basically what it is, of Harley Quinn that's coming out right now, which is actually pretty good and pretty fun and does poke fun at DC Comics, so I think that'll be interesting. Another thing poking fun at DC Comics, Powerless is a new sitcom that's going to be on NBC in mid-season. It's coming in the spring. Stars Vanessa Hudgens, Alan Tiddick, and Danny Pudi, among other people, as sort of like damage control-esque claims adjusters working in the DC universe. Did you guys check out the trailer for this?
I have not seen it, no.
Did you see it?
I did not see it because I thought it was damage control.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Anyway, it looks super cheesy, but there were some funny moments in it. The thing that I thought was most interesting is it's very firmly in the DC universe. You know, you never know with these things, but they name check Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman and Green Lantern. Alan Tudyk, at some point, he's the new boss. He's reading Lex Luthor's book that has a piece of Alex Ross art on it of Lex Luthor.
Oh, with him, is that the one with him?
Yeah,
exactly. With the spotlights one?
Yeah, very exactly. Cool. Which is pretty cool. So I'm curious to see what happens with that. On the other hand... What?
Yeah.
No, man.
That's a good sell. That was a great pitch.
Yeah. It was cute. On the other hand, they showed off a very early trailer, and I put this in quotes, for Krypton. Ooh. Which, do you guys know about Krypton?
Yeah, it blows up.
Yep. Well,
the seasons 1 through 8 right there.
Before it blows up, Langston.
What?
Superman's grandpa did some
what?
Stuff.
Oh, is that what it's about?
It's about Superman's grandpa.
I didn't want to know that.
Yep. So the trailer was basically Krypton. You think it's blowing up, but it's not. It's actually reforming in reverse and says you're going to learn the story that happened before Krypton blew up.
In reverse? Wait, say that again. It's blowing up, but then it's imploding?
Well, so it looks like you're like, oh, what's all this rubble? Oh, you see Superboy's Superman ship coming out.
Interesting.
But it's actually all being sucked back to Krypton, and the planet's reforming.
As in going back in time, like this is way before. I thought at first they were like, guess what? After Superman leaves, Krypton comes back to life.
Yeah,
it's like,
Johnson actually died. Yeah.
It doesn't like the search for Spock or something like that. All right.
And then they show off a bunch of scenes from Man of Steel for the Krypton scenes where they're like, yeah, it'll be this, and here's a bunch of other sci-fi shows of some clip art we got and whatever.
Really?
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Wow.
So that was a little underwhelming, but I don't know. Should be interesting.
Okay. All right. I can see I can see the appeal of that to people who are new to like the Superman. It's like, oh, I wonder what that, like the Krypton portion of Man of Steel. I'm like, man, I would watch a whole show about that. Someone in the theater said that. Behind them was a DC exec that was like, you see, I'm not making it up. And then they made a show.
Yeah, and that guy was David Goyer, who's actually working on the show. Oh, so there you go. Yeah.
Speaking of Weekend Geek, did you see Gotham last night?
I did.
Oh, my God.
What'd you think
now,
of it?
Now, when the Riddler was on, he was like, yeah.
Fish. Not the Riddler. Edward Nygma.
Okay. when he was like, hey, Fish Mooney's coming back, I was like, what? But the way that they did it was so great and worked so well with what was happening. I thought it really made fantastic sense, and I actually got excited about it. Where at first when he said that, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what happens next week in the finale, because I say this every single time we talk about Gotham, but we were pretty down on the first season. I don't know how you felt about it, Langston.
Yes.
Yeah, but even beyond that, the first season and even this season has been insane in the best way, but they haven't really figured out how to stick the landing with their storylines yet. The first half of the season really fizzled out in that last episode before the break. I felt like I'm curious to see if they could stick it this time, because the stuff that they have set up is so crazy.
Yeah.
Where it's Edward Nygma trapping Bruce and
Lucius Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Lucius Fox?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm mistaking it for Lucius Lyon. That's what I got confused.
Okay.
Lucius Fox are trapped and about to be gassed and killed. And then what else is happening? Selina is with the new Firefly.
Yeah. But she's brainwashed.
Yeah.
Time out.
Yes.
So you said that Edward Nygma has Bruce and Lucius Fox in like Batman 66 like tank of gas type deal.
Exactly.
Is this Bruce Wayne child wearing a child Batman costume?
No.
Then what?
It's just a short white kid.
Okay. So let me ask you this, because again, I don't know, because I'm uninitiated. Is this show gonna end with him becoming Batman, or all the villains dying of old age because they're all 35 years old?
When do you think people die of old age?
Listen, man, when life gets, I don't know, 42?
Oh, all right, that's fair. We do live in... We do live in the 1700s.
Also so true. No, yeah. But it's just interesting that I was listening to that sentence and I was like, but wait a minute, but...
Oh, yeah. No, you're totally right, because it's still kid Bruce Wayne. They said he's not going to be Batman until the last episode of the show. But next episode, you got Firefly, you got Mr. Freeze, you got the Riddler, you have Hugo Strange.
Who's he going to fall?
So now he's the Riddler? Did you fucking pick up on that? Dick.
Anyway, yes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, all right. No, I haven't watched the show. I only, read recaps, and everyone says the exact same. It's like, dude, it's insane in the best way possible.
Yeah.
It's kind of, my mom loves it.
My dad loves it.
It's a good show.
I can, talk to my dad about it, which is weird. My dad hates parents always comic books.
So which one is Batman?
Yeah.
My mom has said that question to me before. She's like, which one's Batman?
And I was she loves Gotham.
She loves Gotham because
that's the reason she loves Gotham, because it's not clear which one of them is Batman.
Anybody could be Batman.
Or the Joker, right?
Yeah, there's a guy who's maybe the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
This show is never going to... I think he's going to cross over at Krypton, and someone's going to look in a telescope and say, I wonder what's going on that planet.
Looks like someone's grandpa's up there. Yeah. Well, anyway, cool. That's it for the Week of Geek.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LaPage.
All right, guys, this is the part we get. Wow, look at that first hand up already. Yeah, come on down.
He's already down. Look at that.
All right. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience, opportunity to win $25 free. How this works is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get the three questions right, $25 for you. What is your name, sir?
My name is EJ, and I will not answer Team Iron Man, Team Cap, or Team Black Panther.
Okay, great. EJ, audience, EJ. Here we go. So today's trivia is on comic book news. All right? Question number one. Marvel announced who is leaving S.H.I.E.L.D. in issue 8 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Is it A, Phil Coulson, B, Maria Hill, or is it C, Scott Adsit? So it's either A, Phil Coulson, which is correct and completely bullshit, and I'm fucking so furious about it, or it's B, Maria Hill.
It's Phil Coulson.
That is correct. Thanks, Marvel. Dicks. Question number two. In Harley Quinn number 1, which is coming out in August, what island is Harley protecting from zombies? Is it A, Staten Island, B, Coney Island, or C, Lonely Island? So it's either A, Staten Island, or it's B, Coney Island.
I'm going to guess B.
Yeah! Nice job. All right, here we go. Last one. Brian O'Malley's new ongoing series is called blank. Is it A, Snot Girl, B, Fart Lady, or C, Wordness to the Turdness? So it's either A, Snot Girl, or it's B, Fart Lady.
I'm going to guess Snot Girl.
Yeah, can you believe that? That's the actual name of it.
He follows I thought they up were Scott all joke Pilgrim answers.
With, yeah, Snot Girl.
All right, there we go. Very exciting. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Power Man and Iron Fist number 4. Cannot wait.
Why can't you wait, Pete?
It's been a fantastic reimagining of this team, and the artist is one of my favorites.
Yeah, what's the artist's name?
Yep, I knew you were going to fucking ask that, and I'm completely blanking.
All right, very cool.
Sanford Green?
Yep, thank you. Okay, there you go. Great, like, it was on the tip of your tongue. I'm looking forward to Department H number 2 is coming out. I don't know if you guys have been reading this. It's a book by Matt Kent, and it's an underwater murder mystery. The first issue was awesome, really beautiful, really weird, and like any great murder mystery, Matt teased that every single clue you need to figure out what actually went on is in the first issue.
Bold.
Yeah.
That's a bold statement. It's a bold statement. Like, you figure it out.
Well, he said, you probably can figure it out. Write in. Try to tell us if you know who actually committed the murder. Wow. But there's also these great character dynamics that got set up. It's about this woman who is, of course, afraid of depths, going down all the way in the water to solve the mystery of who killed her father.
She did.
She wasn't there.
She's the one. That's why.
Her brother is there. She has conflict with her brother. All this other stuff going on. And the second issue is even crazier than that. It's great. Lexi, what are you looking forward to?
You already know Astonishing Ant-Man.
Yes.
Number 4.
Oh, yeah.
You kidding me, baby? I'm living in the best possible timeline to be an Ant-Man fan. Because I get to go like, I told each and every one of you, if they pulled it off, you're all, and all my friends are like, dude, Ant-Man's great. I go, sit down. Ant-Man's always been great. Except when he struck his wife. That was okay.
But I tell you what, after I did see Civil War, Ant-Man made Ant-Man look even better.
Do you all realize how terrifyingly strong Ant-Man could be now?
Cool. By the way, for you guys, just a little plug. Next week, we're going to be doing Team Ant-Man versus Team Ant-May. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Everybody wins.
Cool. Real quick plug your stuff again. Puffs and
Hero Complex are both playing at the People's Improv Theater. You can go to the pit-nyc.com for more details about both those shows and all the other shows happening there.
All right. Very cool. A couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, Alyssa Jones, Joe Varner and Nat Towson, who I believe are somewhere around here, are going to be on the show talking about the comic Blown Away. Yeah, they
Somebody
suck.
Somebody hates them.
They suck. And Nat, you might know some of his work from Vice and other places.
That guy's funny.
Yeah,
I'm cool. A big fan.
So that'll be cool. We'll have them on the show. Also, we should mention the show is free for you guys to see and listen to, but it does cost a little bit of money for us to do. So, if you feel so inclined, if you're here in the theater, want to throw some money in the hat, that would be nice. Or we have a virtual hat online, Comic Book Club. GoFundMe.com /comicbookclublive. We would much appreciate it. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Check us out at Comic Book Live on Twitter, comicbookclublive.com, and Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Ebon Bell, Tubber Dar, Craig Fletcher, David Mackay, Riley Trahan, and in the audience, Louis DC.
Yay!
We want to thank Laxton for being on the show.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
Booth Matt Prime. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night, 7:30 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you coming out.
Jenna, baby.